SDI membership is about being part of a global contemplative movement that contributes to peace, justice, and living in right relationship with all living beings. The SDI Learning Community is a group of compassionate listeners who are committed to serving others on their spiritual journeys. Everyone is welcome to become a member of SDI, which also supports our work to advocate for the healing contemplative modalities of spiritual direction and companionship. Become a new member or renew your membership on SDI's secure online store at sdicompanions.org. Welcome to this episode of SDI Encounters, a podcast on spiritual direction and spiritual companionship. I'm Matt Whitney. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our work and the work of spiritual direction and spiritual companionship on our website, sdicompanions.org. Those familiar with the Enneagram know what a powerful tool for self-discovery and insight it can be. With that in mind, we are pleased to announce our latest 10-session course offering from SDI called New Perspectives on the Enneagram for Spiritual Directors and Companions. This unique online course offering from SDI offers spiritual directors and companions the opportunity to connect with peers who are on the leading edge of the Enneagram field. This course will give seasoned Enneagram explorers the opportunity to take a deep dive and develop new perspectives about the use of this medium in spiritual direction and companionship while honing new skills and approaches to their practice and calling. We recently hosted a preview of this series, inviting many of our presenters for the course to share their perspectives. What's new for them? What's stirring? How does exploration of the Enneagram take them beyond archetypes and personality types and into deeper reality and identity? This is part 3 of 3 of our preview for our next 10-session course. And this features Chelsea Forbrook, Reverend Nian Vuong, and a little bit of Q&A at the end. You can catch the previous two parts in the previous two podcast episodes.
Let's see, is Chelsea Forbrook still here? Are you sure you are?
I am still here.
I hear your voice. There you are. Hello.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, well, hello, everyone. I need to take a breath. Let's all take a breath together. Yeah, I'm feeling so moved by what Ben just shared. I'm almost crying. And I also want to give a shout out to Dina, because Dina, I have attended your session on Gurdjieff, Enneagram, and Sufism. And since then, I have bought a book on the 99 names of God and started chanting them, thanks to you. So thank you so much. Really good to be a part of this group of amazing teachers. So my name is Chelsea Forbrook. I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Home of Dakota, Lakota, and Anishinaabe peoples, who are still very much here and very present in the community. I have my training in the Enneagram Institute, as well as doing some somatic Enneagram training from Marianne Gilbert. And so I'm just always branching out and trying to learn from everyone. And there's just so much out there. We could study the Enneagram every day for the rest of our lives and still not be done. And so a 10-week session is not near enough, in my opinion, but it's a great start. So a couple other things about me. I am a spiritual director and president of the Enneagram Minnesota chapter of the IEA. And when I work with people one-on-one in spiritual direction or doing Enneagram coaching, you know, it becomes so obvious to me that the Enneagram is this incredible tool that helps us connect with our deeper self, our true self, helps us connect with other people in a real and authentic way, and helps us connect with the divine. And it shows us what is in the way of all of that. It shows us the barriers that each of us needs to see clearly to be able to let go of those things. And I have also found that what is true on a micro level is also true on a macro level. So as I'm doing Enneagram work within myself, if it's true between me and my soul, it's going to also be true between me and my partner, me and my neighbors, my friends, and my whole community. And so before I got into the Enneagram, I was really on a career path that was much more related to anti-oppression work and anti-racism. And so I've started to bring these two things together and see that the Enneagram has so much to teach us and so many incredible insights and tools to guide us as we are doing this really important work of looking at, you know, who has an automatic advantage in our cultures, right? And that's going to be a little bit different depending on what culture each of us is in. But, you know, I grew up in the U.S. And so one of the most obvious ones, of course, is race, right? And so along with my friend Milton Stewart, who hopefully I can actually get to come teach this course with me. We'll see. We've developed a course on studying just race and how we can show up and be aware of our type structure in the ways that we are learning and in the ways that we become defended against wanting to look at this stuff, right? Because it's so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable, especially for people like me who I do have a lot of automatic advantages and just by the nature of, you know, what family I was born into and where and all of these things. And there are ways that I could shrink away from that because I might have a tendency to take that personally or think, oh no, you know, there's something shameful about that. But the Enneagram shows us, you know, that we have an ego and we have essence. And this is such an important distinction when we're looking at issues of power and privilege as well, because all of these different elements of my identity that afford me automatic advantages, they aren't actually me, right? I do benefit from them, but they're not actually me. There is something much deeper to all of us, right? Whether we're in a group that has a lot of power or not, there is this deeper essence. And we can really learn from our Enneagram studies about how to approach difficult things, right? I mean, that's almost all the Enneagram is at first, right? Is just looking at everything that's horrifying about my personality, right? And so when we're studying the Enneagram for a while, we sort of build up a tolerance for discomfort of like, oh yeah, it's kind of a good thing to get busted. And see, oh, sure enough, like I do that thing and I wasn't even aware of it. And we can take that growing window of tolerance for discomfort that we learn in the Enneagram and start to bring it and apply it to just looking at oppression, power, automatic advantage. So those are some of the things that I would like to explore with you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Chelsea. Working, moving through with these barriers, and I'm grateful for your take on oppression and working with discomforts, these types that we carry. The word that comes to me is being liberated, like liberation from these things that trap us and give us discomfort as we work through them. You use the word essence. Many of you have, and it's a rich terrain exploring essence that I'm really looking forward to from all of you. So Reverend Nian, I lost, there you are. Hi, Reverend Nian.
Welcome. Hello.
Thank you. And feel free to offer us what's stirring for you, and what do you think you might be sharing with us in this upcoming, even now or in the series to come?
Yeah. Well, I want to begin with just saying that, as I was waiting to speak, listening to each person, each presenter share ahead of me was so soul-stirring. I was like, yes, you times 1,000, to want to elevate and expand each voice. And listening to each person speak, I felt my heart break a little bit, like for the rawness, like of our world, and for the way that one could hear how each person's journey informs like what we're inspired to speak about, And I think that my own journey can be summed up in this quote from Nisargadatta Maharaj, which says, "Wisdom tells me I am nothing. Love tells me I am everything. And between the two, my life flows." And I think that, Matt, earlier when you mentioned, oh, immortality, that's exciting to me. I'm like, I think that the core of what I'm about is this notion of dying every day. And what that quote tells me about is like, there's a love that is available to me, represented by the circle of the Enneagram, represented by this embrace of my wholeness, if I'm willing to fall into that circle by leaving my particular tight point, the surface of my being, and fall into that wholeness. And early on in my journey, the beginning of my journey, I really did approach it like, oh, I'm broken and I need fixing. And as I engaged the journey, it was a very visceral experience of like inner light and of inner wholeness. But as I was journeying into this, yes, my ego is like happy, like there's something about like I'm feeling whole. I realized that that circle that I'd like to teach as a circle of our wholeness also felt like a big zero. Like there was something about then the annihilation of like my preferences and my striving to be somebody special in the world. And I happen to connect at point three. So like special times 1,000, right? So that, and what does it mean to let go of that and to fall into the wholeness of being that I sometimes call God, sometimes call love, sometimes just call truth. And so for me during this time, even as I glance at some of the questions that are really like practical questions about applying the Enneagram to our everyday life, I feel like this modern, especially American, very pragmatic model, this more capitalistic approach, is like, okay, what shall we do? Like it goes straight into that. And again, also from this three perspective, that's been my historic orientation. And so I think that the invitation for me that I really want to bring forward in this model of how do we let go of what this self that right now believes I'm separate from you and there are things to fix and do in the world, die to that on a daily, regular basis in a way where that which is transformed by something and a consciousness or awareness bigger than myself, like then informs my return to the world, if you will. So there's falling into like the heart of being and then going out. And in a very specific way, I'd like to talk about the passions and the virtues of the Enneagram, in part because, as again, as others have spoken, the passions of the Enneagram, I think originally come from the term passio, which relates to, it's like the passion of the Christ, the suffering of our being. And through the suffering of our being, there's a way of releasing the constriction of this clinging to the circumference of the circle of the Enneagram, and then opening to wholeness in a way where that wholeness or that divinity then informs how we show up in the world in a form of what I would call contemplative activism. And then to take a step back, I happen to be a licensed and ordained Unity minister. I've been studying the Enneagram since 2002 and teaching it since 2007. I'm the founder of Evolving Enneagram, and we approach this work from a compassion-based and contemplative approach to Enneagram inner work that really mirrors what I heard shared by the presenters before me, which is this notion of that this is not about fixing what's broken, but remembering wholeness at the core, and then taking action from that place of felt wholeness. A Course in Miracles teaches that a common theology or universal theology is impossible, but a universal experience is not only possible, but necessary. And so what I want to invite in is something that Cynthia Bourgeau calls like this dropping into the spiritual perceptual organ that is the heart. And so for those who are familiar with the Enneagram already, the passion and the virtue is really in the heart center. And so my passion is to bring forth how the dying to, like the passion of the type, and the awakening to the virtue allows us to come from a place that is not reactive, but responsive to meet the needs of the world. And that also comes from a place that is not born of belief, but of born of an actual experience, a unitive experience that allows belief differences to fade away in the face of our actual shared unity. I have so much more I could say on that, but I am conscious of the time and of the fact that there are questions that I think would love to be answered, and I want to make space for that as well. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Arvinian, and thank you just for the, again, I mean, you've all been speaking so beautifully and eloquently to this, but the idea that the Enneagram is not personality test, that through the Enneagram, there's an invitation to, Reverend, what you call this unitive experience, oneness, grounded in all being, with ourselves and, you know, the landscape and with everything. And I've not heard the notion of passions and sufferings connected in that way too. And that's really fascinating to me, and really looking forward to learning more about that with you. And thank you, Reverend Yan, and thank you to all our presenters for introducing yourselves. We have a few minutes here, and there are a couple questions that came in, and I'm sure you've seen them. So, you know, Mary asks about being in troubled political times, and certainly in the United States, but in lots of places. How can the Enneagram be used to explain, I'm not going to name names here, but really just kind of the fear and the reactionary kind of posture that we all have against just, you know, what we described as just the strangeness of the times, being so troubled, being so difficult, and maybe how we can use the Enneagram, or can it be used to develop meaningful conversations with others whom, as Mary termed, is fixed, but maybe even in a collective sense, can it be used in that way? And I wonder if that resonates with any of you, and feel free to just jump in, and if you talk over each other, that's okay too.
Well, I just spoke, but I do feel very passionately about this topic. Yeah. I just taught a class recently, for Ben's group, you know, IEA Northeast, on listening around the circle of the Enneagram. And so there's this idea, well, a few things going on. One is, like, listening for our triggers is a way that we begin to do shadow work, so that we were recognizing that when we other someone, even like now, like when we're thinking of, like, how do we fix them, right? How do we get them on our side? That there's something about that, this profound sacred listening is what I would call it, that allows us to, through our triggers, learn the ways that we have exiled or rejected parts of our own wholeness. And in that, there's a beginning of really recognizing that shared humanity, that it is not out there, that if I cannot have compassion for this aspect of my being that I can begin to own within myself, then I'll continue to be part of that which creates this duality and polarity in the world. And so for me, it's about recognizing what I want to change out there is the beginning of owning, like, what is unrecognized as part of my as part of the circle of our shared humanity within myself, and then trusting that paradoxically that compassion will actually transform, that somehow profound acceptance, and actually on the cutting edge of this, I also study somatic Enneagram just as Chelsea does, that there's this embrace almost viscerally within ourselves of this aspect of being that then allows me to move in a way where almost like the other no longer perceives me as seeing them as other, because I have cultivated an inner hospitality that makes space for them within my being. Yeah.
So that's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, it's just so paradoxical, right? Like, in order to, like, understand others, let's turn back to ourselves. And, like, through this inner work that we do with the Enneagram, we can be of service to others. It's a really beautiful sort of loop, right? Like, through ourselves to others back again. Yeah. Thank you. And I want to invite, we've got a few minutes for others to respond to that. Also, a few of you mentioned similar people that you trained under, and there's a question in here about which type of Enneagram training is best for certification. And feel free to either just, like, presenters, if you want to drop that in the chat or name that real quickly. But how else do you respond to this question of inner work, serving others through the Enneagram, trouble times?
Matt, I'll jump in on that for just a minute. That was really a beautiful statement that Nian made. But one of the things that the Enneagram kind of demands of us is a profound curiosity. And when my reactive nature, when I, as she was pointing out, when I have a strong reaction against the other, I know that's my own shadow material that's coming to the surface, and I'm projecting my shadow onto that person. But if I can release that, and as the Enneagram encourages, just become profoundly curious, to not assume that this person I want to other is different from me, but that there's that darkest or most scary part of them, that there is gold in there, that there is love, that there's compassion. And it's challenging, you know, around a conflicted Thanksgiving table conversation that some of us have, but to just continue to say, well, tell me more. That's fascinating. Tell me more. And so often with that profound curiosity, we will get to what's really at stake for this person that we would otherwise other. So the gift of curiosity from the Enneagram is what I want to say.
Thank you, Helen. Yeah. The gift of curiosity. And I love what you just said about there's gold in there. Like there's gold in these explorations. There's gold in each of us to be excavated. And there's gold in each of you. And, you know, we just have a moment left and I want to honor the time. And so if you want to go deeper, this has been an incredibly deep hour, but if you want 2-hour sessions with each of these amazing teachers, we really invite you to join us for our 10 session series upcoming. Begins in April, new perspectives on the Enneagram for troubled times, for spiritual companions. And with that, we'll close, and Anne has put the link to the series in the chat. We'll also send it via email. Just want to thank all our presenters, Sandra and Shelty, Ben, Reverend Nian, Alan, and Erlina, who had to leave, and Dina, and just thank you so much for your time. Thank you to each of you for joining us today. We will have a recording of the session, and so feel free to watch that whenever you want. We'll send that out to you via email, and what a gift this has been. Thank you. Thank you so much.
To register for the full series, which includes 10 sessions over 10 weeks with all of these Enneagram presenters, go to sdicompanions.org. You'll find the registration link there. You do not need to be a member or spiritual director to attend. All are welcome. If you're enjoying this podcast and you want to help us share and spread the word about the life-giving practice of spiritual companionship, you can help us out by subscribing to this podcast through your favorite app. You could give us a like or even write us a review. Thank you for listening. This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. SDI is the home of spiritual companionship. Learn more about us and our work on our website, sdicompanions.org.